The FINA Podcast, an advocacy tool that seeks to illuminate the financial and economic inclusion challenges, solutions, and advancements in Nigeria. It is the first podcast in Nigeria focusing on this discourse. Join us on this journey.
Welcome to part two of this interesting conversation on credit literacy, personal finance, and financial health. So, Jerry, we concluded part one of this episode with a discussion on the problem of irresponsible lending and irresponsible practices and why they need to be curtailed.
There is also the flip side of this coin. There are people who feel I can borrow from here and move on to the next.
Of course, I'm coming to them. Of course, you know, there are some people, I'll tell you, that, and this one, I want to tell you, I'm not going to stay on consumer alone. There are individuals, businesses owned by individuals that when they want to borrow, they do not have the plan to repay. There are people like that. Yes. There are so-called big businessmen as well. That the people know them, the industry know them. They will cause all kind of trouble. They are not willing to repay.
But is that a literacy issue?
That's not a literacy issue. That's bad behavior. Hmm. That discipline, that's irresponsibility. Do you understand? That's because there are no consequences. Yes.
Yes.
So some people want to borrow. And I take, for instance, in my past life, some of the things I've done. Government might have an intervention loan, for instance. And this one might be an intervention loan that government is extending through FS, to financial service providers, you know, multiple giving to business to be able to either to refinance their business or give a lower interest rate. You will see a situation whereby you are now telling that particular business and say, okay, this is what you need to submit. We might actually give you, maybe you have even extended the facility to quickly bridge it because they need to take advantage of business using your own pricing or terms, which might be a bit high. And the moment the government backed loans or the intervention comes in, which will give a reduced pricing, a longer tenor, manageable terms, you should take that out and do what we call refinancing. So that you can actually have manageable and sustainable terms. You will see it's GM first and foremost. You say, why am I not having a fresh money? It's not fresh money. That's one. Number two, when there's time for repayment, they tell you that it's not owned by the country. So some say it's a national cake. That's one side of the coin. Now go to the consumer guys. I'm taking this loan. 10,000, you start from all those small informal, all those apps. If you repay, it goes to 15,000. You know, if you repay, it goes to, that is testing your responsible. You know, are you responsible? Are you good? Can I trust you with more? Because it's about trust. You know, it's about repetition. Can I do more with you? Then they give. But this one takes the 10,000. It doesn't repay. Use another phone, goes here, take another 20, goes here, and I mean, I've met someone that did over 30-something. It's not exaggeration. Long. By the time the person came to me and checked, we were just talking, and I said, Jerry, let me just confess. And I cannot mention what the person was using the entire money to do. It's boys' bank to either for my gambling. And the person said, I don't know what to do. You understand? I say you need to go for therapy. You need to go for, because it became an addiction.
Is it because of pressure to pay back outstanding? So you take some to put into.
Some do. I take this to pay this. I take this to pay this. That's one set. Another set only that they're not even planning to pay the old one. I take it to fulfill my addiction. Some people's addiction is drugs. Some people's addiction is that I just want to feel good. I just want to be out there, let somebody see me. The things that nobody's looking at, I need to buy the new shoe, I need to buy what is happening, I need to buy another one. That's another one. Another person is that they are borrowing, they try to do a business. The business did not come out well. It's okay, let me borrow to be able to pay this other person. I tried. So they entered. So because they are different people, some are sincere business people. Do you understand the idea? Some are sincere business people. Some don't have information and the awareness about what they want to do before they ventured into it. And because of that, there's a problem. So you have different issues. But the critical thing is that the irresponsibility can either be from the borrower or from the lender. And I'm also not going to absorb those that are supposed to regulate or in terms of provide the framework or the consequence. Do you understand? If you look at our environment, for instance, you can take, sometimes you take a lender, a borrower, you go to court or go to SFU, the staff, everything. And you see that other lender say, we've been looking for this man. We have been looking for you. They say, okay, come and write how much you'll be bringing every month. The person, by the time they look at it, is owing over 50 million. And the person says, I only have 10,000 every month. Where are you going to start from? Honestly. And some will borrow to go and take opportunity, so-called CBEX.
I didn't want to go there anyway. I didn't want to go there, but I think at Efina, we had just looked at our data again and even realized that most of the people who even lost money in these schemes, right? Even business owners, you know, educated. And that takes me to my final question, two in one anyway. People who borrow to put in these risky businesses, in as much as I will be convinced that it's because they do not know the implications. So there's the literacy part in terms of what this might result to in future, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have also realized that being literate, being educated does not equal financial literacy.
Agreed. Because greed is raised to power greed for some people.
So how do we deal with this, knowing that, seeing that the menace, you know, cuts across those who went to school, even up to university education, and even those who didn't go? What are the measures that we need to put in place to start driving literacy? Let's focus on the consumer so that there is responsible borrowing.
Okay. Right. Okay. What are the measures? We can't educate enough. Honestly. So we need to educate the consumers in such a way that they understand the implication of whatever they want to do. At every point in time, that this money, do you actually need the money that you want? Do you actually know the amount that you want? Even if you know the amount, can you generate the kind of money to be able to fulfill your obligation? Are you even aware of the kind of people you should go to when you are in need of money? Are you even aware that should I even go to an official place or first start with what I have? You know, that education is very, very important. At their own local level, it's important. Either you are informal, either you are formal, in the language people understand. Another thing is that we need to let people understand character. While educating people, character is very, very important. A substantial percentage also who do not repay loan is based on character. Some people repay their loan because their company deduct at source. If you give them the opportunity to deduct that money themselves and remit it, over 60% will not remit it. I am telling you. But because company deduct at source, they don't have it. Character. Discipline. So we need to do. In addition to that, the institution that provides the credit need to build the capacity of their staff. Needs to also ensure that they give a target that is responsible within the organization. So when you know that this is the limit, some people give a target that is beyond the market. I'm telling you, some will go into a country or somewhere that you have people that don't really have something and say, I want you to generate. I understand the idea that you can generate something, but there are some you know. There are 10 people here. Those 10 people are struggling. They have not. Their plant is not even grow. You say, go and give me something that someone that's been there for 100 years, who has this plant? You don't also understand your market. And you're not also providing the support to your staff within that market. You're not giving them adequate time to be able to generate that kind of business. If there's too much pressure, the staff will do wholesome practices. That's another thing. And it doesn't mean that when you're educated up to PhD level or whatever, you'll be financially literate. No, there's a lot of educated people. In fact, when you look at CBS, there will be a lot of educated people that are there. And you see, today we can be saying English like the cash conversion cycle or your equity ratio or your supplier credit and everything. I learned most of those things from the age of 10. I don't even know what they were called, but I learned it from my parents. Understanding market entry, understanding what a supplier credit, going to a cooperative, following my mom and say she will give you money. She's in 3 cooperatives, say, oh yeah, go and drop this money with this. Tell them to help me to contribute. Put it here, let them help me contribute. Then there are some, she's not even a direct member of the cooperative. She just has friends and say, okay, we are both in that cooperative. She's never been there. And what do you have? There are 2 or 3. And say, okay, you are the member. They will now contribute money
together.
You. So yeah. They will know that that one is always putting his 1,000 or 10,000 or 5,000 every week. So when you get to after 6 months or so, they are okay for a loan. Mm-hmm. And you get 3 times of what you drop. That one collects the loan and split it. They do their business. Mm-hmm. So, and everything, they leverage and they keep paying back. I'm the one that will go to this one or my sister to go and pay. Sometimes the cooperative, the power, they go together to cooperative bank. These women, a lot of them, some of them were not educated. But you know what? The local intelligence, they sat down, they learned from each other, they learned from the market and other people. They were interested. So there has to be interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many years after, I started reading and I'm seeing that this is what they call supply credit. This is what they call. I say, oh, that was what my mom was doing then. Do you understand the idea? So that you're educated doesn't mean that you can be financially literate. In fact, you might even be financially literate and say, you know what, because I know I'm financially literate, I'm going to enter into this Ponzi scheme and I'll go out before anybody. But you didn't know. You thought when you heard about the Ponzi scheme was when it started. The Ponzi scheme was actually started maybe a year ago. And it's about to crash. The time you heard about it was when it was about to crash. And he said, no, I'll put my own, I'll leave next month. And that was it. So that's, we talked about the risk management.
Yeah.
So you need to check. You understand? So it's both on everybody. If you look at the country as well, the orientation agencies of the country should be saying it different language, beyond the language. How do you break it down to what people understand? What they can relate with? What they can relate with is important.
Is there a role that the FSPs, finally service providing lenders, need to play beyond just sitting the prospective borrower, having a one-on-one conversation with a loan officer? Do they have a role beyond that?
Yes, they do, because a borrower that wants to borrow from you, you see all those things you are saying, he's not listening. I'm telling you, say, Oga, when are you? Okay, so we want to tell you this is a loan. Because what you are telling him, as if we want you to sign your life, we want you to do, we are telling you, they said we should tell you. He say, Oga, can you just complete this thing? Let's take this thing and go.
When will the disbursement happen?
When will the disbursement happen? So that's why that's not enough. There is the monitoring. We're talking about financial health. Financial well-being.
Yeah.
There is the financial health check. There is the monitoring. Even though it's consumer finance, you need to be able to check on your client once in a while and say, hi, you are saying if maybe they pay their salary or income comes in and you're not seeing, even when you're seeing it, you need to call them whatever. So if you are in the rural area, maybe you create a kind of focus group once in a while, every like quarterly, and say you just want to talk to them, you know, in a village square manner.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, okay, the yam you harvest, what have you been able to get to? Who are the ones, people buying it from you? How they're buying, what are you keeping for your children? How are you managing their health? Okay, we want to bring people that will be able to help you with your health. But by just saving 30% of what you earn and leaving it for 1 month, for 2 months, we will be able to ensure that you can get access to like healthcare services of up to 15 to 20,000 naira or 50,000 naira with some of these health centers around. You see, what you have just done is that you have just managed in terms of the insurance, in terms of risk management for them. In that saving, you are trying to tell them that your kids will be able to go to school or buy that particular grocery. Do you understand?
Yeah.
In that investment, what you are saying, you are at the same time, you are also ensuring that they are able to repay the loans that you have given to them. So, you know, there are different ways. Another thing you can do, you need to be able to get to them. So if they have clusters, their head and say, once in a while, we say once in 6 months, once in 3 months, we will be here to come and tell us what is the problem you have gone through, the idea, the way you do business clinic, business diagnostic. You can also do consumer diagnostic.
True.
Who comes to you and say, all the crop that planted and all this thing, why didn't you come to meeting today? Say the person didn't come because, you know, there were, you know, a lot of ants on its farm and everything like that. Somebody say, oh, that affected its harvest, the investment. Then you say, did you actually do something together that is called a crop insurance? Something like that around. Then you bring in an insurance company that's able to look at crop insurance. You can do it together. From what they are harvesting, there's a way that you do all those things. Now they begin to understand something they can relate with, because they can relate with their produce.
True.
They can relate because the produce is like a return. Yeah. They have not sold it, but it's like a return. It's like a baby they have. You can relate with it. In that particular environment, when they come together, they can relate. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's important. Then when you go to places, the people who are literate and all those things, you also find a way they can relate with it. You can, even the financial service providers can actually sponsor maybe films, seasonal films, some of those things that talks about in your language. It might be some of those, they are comedians that they know very well,
yeah,
and they are there in the market. They are there, 15-minute short film, and some of those things in their languages.
It could go very,
people
very
will long. Relate because it's now that, whoa, this is what is happening. So you must let people relate. Once you communicate with people what we understand, then they relate with it and say, okay, I won't do this because somebody said I shouldn't do this.
Right.
Social media today is influencing everybody. So there are some people today, celebrities or so, who will come out, if they do something bad, you can see actually 10,000 people that will go and do that bad thing because their idol did it. Now, that same celebrity, flip it and say, talk about this. 10,000 people or more, we want to follow that good path. Yeah. It's also very, very important. And finally, mentioning that celebrity, a couple of them do not do due diligence before they push out and say, I'm supporting this particular idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they also have to be educated because majority of the so-called celebrity are financially illiterate, are greedy, and they do not do due diligence. I mean, it's not good, but I hope one will not, you know, be shown the consequences, that everybody will now sit up and say, before I support something,
you need to do your due diligence
because you are actually destroying some people's financial sustainability.
True.
Thank you.
Right. Just before we go, I think I have a last. So you touched on the FSP, you talked on influencers. I know part of the work that we've done over the years has also talked about using religious institutions to drive these messages. What role exactly will government need to do?
Government,
very briefly.
You know, to be sincere, in Nigeria, government do play a role. You see those information, but I think we need a lot from the National Orientation Agency. And not just in that traditional way, you just say, put something on this TV. Like I say, the National Orientation Agency, things now has to be done, customized.
Yeah.
It has to be, you know, in different dimension. The ones people can relate with, that's one thing. Now, there are a lot of framework that are released, but how do you get the least person to understand framework? There was a time, I don't know if I was talking to you a couple of times, I was talking about something like a market parrot.
Yes.
That I sat down one day, I was designing something. I said, why did you have something like a market parrot? It's there in Lagos. A couple of years ago, we did an analysis about 400 markets in Lagos, for instance. And having just put a market parrot in some specific location, maybe a kiosk, what happened? For every policy, either that the government releases or an interpretation, let somebody be able to say, let me go to the market parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find out what is happening this week.
Yeah.
And the person say, this is just the meaning of what this is about. This is about the,
this now, how it affects you.
Now, what happened is that you're drilling down. So when somebody is passing a misinformation, they can tell you that no, the parrot, market parrot
says
has told us what happened. And there are processes, you know, there are governance. So drilling down those information, that's one thing. When you have framework, you let them know. You have guidelines, you let them know. Now, at the same time, there had to be law guiding a lot of things. Even though there are law, there must be process for mediation, everything, so that people know that if I have an irresponsible borrower, I should be able to take him up or take her up, either his court or anything, and there should be consequences, which is also very, very important. If there are consequences, and that's what you expect from the government, people will borrow responsibly. Now, not only for the borrower, there are consequences for the lender as well.
True.
Do you understand? Now, those are the role of government. In addition to that, infrastructure is very important. Now we know that, you know, you have a credit infrastructure. I can look at your informal data to be able to do a couple of things, look at those statistics. Now, that some infrastructure still don't cover some informal area.
Yeah.
Do you understand? True. Which is important as well. Security sometimes make, at the end of the day, you're calculating your cost and everything. It makes the rates skyrocket. So when you look at that, when there is no security, some things can be forced down. It's important. It's some of the role government should provide that. It's important as well. You understand? Then, in addition to that, government should not, when we release an information on something, for instance, government should make sure that you put the right people that will be able to deliver in that particular stuff.
True.
You know, dissecting what people need on a particular value chain. Where are the actors in this value chain? What is the financial and non-financial need of those actors? What can I give this consumer? What can I give this particular person? What can I give them? You know, each of those things. And I'll close with this. Take the CNG, for instance. Government say, convert to CNG. I know the advantage of that. You know, some people today have converted their car to CNG. But what they are charging is even still more than when they were using petrol. Now, there's no consequence. There's no way until some people started reporting them through their number to FCCP. They now trace them. Oh, you actually benefited from this CNG. And because of that, they took that person, arrested them, took their vehicle to the CNG and said, convert it back to fuel. You understand? A lot of people don't know about that. Now, when you showcase that in terms of let people know, then you are trying to do, even though I've not been impressed in terms of the CNG conversion, what I expect the way government should back some of those things is look at everybody along the value chain, up onto the taxi or the transporter, up onto the guys that are bringing those CNG materials in, embark upon those that have the mechanic. I know they are fixing all those things, but we're not seeing a lot of those things. Now, each of those people, and there must be a way to track them. Now, the key thing is that if there are governance structure, there are framework in place, and people know there are consequences to this thing, they will know once there are consequences. Go to Asian countries and so, why do you think they don't do some things? Because they know the consequence. This is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
So government need to, what we call government, you can't fight with them. They need to come with that backing. They need to come with that confidence to be able to back the credit infrastructure, to be able to, you know, bring up national orientation, for both the lenders, for both the borrowers. Do you understand? The education should be there across board. And of course, the law should be enforced. That's something that is critical. And I think when we do that, you know, we can continue to fine-tune. And when everybody say, okay, there's confidence, the lender can say that I know that when I lend, I'm able to say, I'm able to say, okay, I think I'm going to get my money back, or at least 90% of my money. The borrower can say, okay, I think when I walk to this particular person's, I have an opportunity, you know, to be able to, you know, borrow from this kind of person. Yeah. And because I know them, I have information on them.
True.
Then the people who are setting up lending store and everything, we must be able to know where is their location. A lot of Asians have set up some very irresponsible lending companies, and some have over 40 of them, just one company. And you know that different name. And the moment FCCP want to go and catch them, they don't know where they are. They take them down from the app, they come up with another one. People know their name, but some people know them.
Seminars.
So that is the position of that, that's the role of the government.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying with us. It's been an interesting conversation with our finance expert, Mr. Jerry Osagie. Jerry, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
If there is nothing you took away from this conversation, obviously, first, being educated even up to a PhD level does not equate financial literacy or credit literacy, as the case is. And knowing exactly why you need to borrow, why you need credit, and how to repay is very, very critical for the credit to be of impact to one's life. And I think that's very, very important. We cannot reemphasize the need for awareness across all. So credit literacy is not just for the borrower. Yeah. The lender also has to be literate on government. Responsible lending. Government has a role to play. And I like the fact that I hear National Orientation Agency, because that's really a vehicle for us to drive this literacy and awareness. At EFINA here, like we always say, we bring the issues to fore and we discuss them in such a way that translating to development impact for all Nigerians. Once more again, thank you, Jerry, for coming. And thank you to our listeners. See you again in episode 9. Bye-bye for now.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
To learn more about EFINA, a financial sector deepening organization seeking to facilitate an inclusive market that works for all Nigerians, please visit www.efina.org.ng.